Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Asian food is a prominent part of the American food landscape, to be sure. But why and how did that happen? A new book of essays explains, and spoiler alert, it's not because Asians are innately great cooks or because Asians are exceptionally devoted to eating good food. This book, called Eating Asian American, A Food Studies Reader, is a reminder of the social, political, economical, and historical forces which have cornered Asians into the agricultural and food service industries. The book gets into things like the politics of food trucks and the strange marketing history of Kikkoman soy sauce. We're joined by two scholars and contributors to this new book. Robert G. Song Koo is an associate professor of Asian and Asian American Studies at Binghamton University, author of Dubious Gastronomy, The Cultural Politics of Eating Asian in the USA, and one of the editors of this new book. And Lok Sui is associate professor of and coordinator of the Asian American and Asian Diaspora Studies Program at UC Berkeley, and is one of the contributors to the book. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Hi.
Thank you.
Robert, on one of the questions that you pose in the introduction is the love of food an indelible and inescapable part of the Asian DNA? And yet this book is basically dedicated to why the answer to that question is no. So explain the myth that the book centrally seeks to debunk.
Well, Asian American history is one that has, from the beginning, focused somewhat on food in a great way. The early Chinatowns that opened up in San Francisco and New York City, food was one of the major attractions that brought non-Chinese Americans to Chinatown. So the association with food and the exotic aspect of Chinese food was something that was at the forefront of the Asian presence in America. The Filipinos who came to the United States after between the wars, World War I and World War II, many of them came to work in the agricultural fields of California, the canneries of Alaska. My own family came to the United States in the 70s, and eventually we, like most typical Korean families, opened up a grocery store. So I think in the minds of many Americans, there seems to be some innate connection that Asians have with food. And I guess what our book wants to talk about is that, on the one hand, Asian Americans have played an important role in the development of American cuisine, if the word cuisine can be used to describe American food. But the reason why that's the case has to do with American history, Asian immigration, wars, labor politics, and et cetera. So the question of race, racial discrimination, these are the questions that I think also propelled Asians to become so intricately involved in food production and food distribution.
And I wonder if any Asian Americans listening right now, Asian Americans, you know, of any background, want to call in and say anything or ask anything relevant to this book, Eating Asian American, A Food Studies Reader, putting Asian American food and economics in a political and social and historical context. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for the editor, Robert G. Song Koo, and one of the contributors, Lok Sui. And Lok, your essay is about Chinese Latin food and the explosion of hip food trucks. And in fact, you first encountered Chinese Latin food, I see, here in New York in the 90s on the Upper West Side. And maybe, you know, that has moved into the food truck craze, and maybe Exhibit A is the Korean taco trucks, would you say?
Yes, that's right. That's right. The Korean taco trucks sort of came in early with Koji, as you remember, in the end of the 2000s in Los Angeles. And they just sort of spread everywhere, you know, in different parts as well. I think the concept of it really is coming out of the fact that there are Asians and Latino populations living close to one another in urban areas. So you see them emerging in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in New York, in Texas, in Chicago, in Miami, etc. So, you know, that's sort of what we see happening. In New York, with the Chino-Latino restaurants, they're primarily due to a migration of people from Asians from Latin America migrating to New York City. First, and primarily by the Cubans, the Chinese Cubans. They were the first sort of folks who were opening up the Chino-Latino restaurants. And then slowly you have new waves of migration from other parts outside of Cuba, but different parts of Latin America and the Caribbean. So you have now, you know, Chinese Peruvian, Chinese Venezuelan, and other foods kind of coming into the mix.
So how did the food truck, once seen as low culture and primarily affordable, transform into something modern, hip, cutting edge, and totally mainstream? And what does that say about us?
Well, there are a number of things. I think the similarities between the old and the new one is that they are, you know, mobile. But what separates the old and the new food trucks is, well, the kind of food that they serve. The new food trucks are much more experimental. They're cutting edge. You know, they are sort of at the pioneer, you know, of food innovation in some ways. It's different also in terms of where they go. The old food trucks used to, you know, be parked in more industrialized areas, areas where there weren't any restaurants. And the new ones are really kind of, they go to where people are, you know, they're at the city centers. They're competing head-to-head, you know, with established restaurants. And also the consumers, the people who are eating it, are different as well. You know, I think that the earlier food trucks cater to much more of a working class group of people, but the consumers of today of food trucks are people who are young, who are professionals, who have disposable income, who are connected, you know, in sort of the social media networks, and who are hooked to sort of the new trends of mm-hmm. foods that are happening today.
Young and professional, and Robert, yes. Foodies. Who are part of this set of people who think of themselves as multicultural, celebrating difference through enjoying diverse food. And at best, it's really a genuine appreciation of diverse culinary traditions. At worst, maybe it's a quest to achieve rarefied status as those in the know about what real authentic Asian food is. So if foodies should learn something from your book, what do you think it might be?
That the question of authenticity is something that is very elusive, and if not, it's, I would even consider it a mirage. That it's a very problematic idea. But before I go on, I just want to acknowledge my co-editors, give a shout-out to Martin Manalansan and Anita Manur, who helped tremendously in getting this project off the ground. But
because all three of you edited the book, Eating yeah. Asian American, A Food yeah. Studies yeah. Reader.
Yeah. So our cover image for the book is a makeup of a sriracha bottle, which is very iconic these days with a rooster on it. Now, many people assume that the product is imported, that it's from Asia somewhere, and that's what makes it so delicious. Actually, it's made in California by a Chinese-Vietnamese named David Tran, who began to market it in 1983. And we chose that image for the cover because I think this is what is so confusing about the idea of the authentic. We assume what is authentic tastes better, but then when we ask what the authentic is, then we always have to go back to some origin, some mythical origin. In case of Asian food, we think of Asia, something cooked by someone's grandma. But in fact, I think food is something that is, like culture in general, always in transformation due to things like migration, globalization, and so forth. It's a hard idea to pin down. However, we still desire it. It's kind of a touristic desire that comes with the territory. So I guess what we want to do is maybe interrupt that reverie. Believing that, in fact, the authentic exists, number one, and number two, the authentic is somewhere that is mythical and magical.
And yet the most ordinary thing in mainstream American culture is to get Chinese takeout, one of the most ordinary. So explain the paradox of your assertion that Asian Americans are perpetual foreigners While at the same time, at least in a culinary context, Asian Americans are assimilated into what you call the national fabric of normality and whiteness.
Right, right. You know, when we ask people or like students, my students, is hamburger, hot dog, or pizza American or foreign, most would agree, answer that it's American because the origin of it, which is Europe, has somehow been forgotten. Whereas Asian American contribution to food, the foreignness of it still is retained, even though since the mid-19th century, Chinese have been selling food to Americans. This, I think, speaks to the fact that there is a racial dimension to how we view food and eating. On the other hand, what Asian Americans has contributed on a culinary realm is to expand the notion of Asian food. A lot of people believe that, as you mentioned, the Chinese takeout in New York City are all fake American-style Chinese food. I personally would argue that it isn't, that it's a regional food that is very American. Just as Chinese food in Hong Kong is different from Taiwan, which is different from Shanghai, mm-hmm. American Chinese food is different, but it's still Chinese food.
Locke, is the association of Chinese people with Chinese takeout as problematic as perpetuating images of African Americans eating fried chicken or watermelon? And is that really what's happening? Are Asians being defined by the foods they eat or that they sell?
Well, it's part of it. There's in every stereotype, there's some truth to it, right? And I think the fact that there are a lot of Asians involved in the food industry, reflects a kind of economic niche that they're occupying. It would be harmful, yes, certainly to stop there to say, you know, they are about their food. You know, that is not it. It is purely one economic niche that they have sort of occupied historically and at present. And so, you know, it would be harmful if people stop there. But on the other hand, I think that it is a reality that Asian, you know, people are being socialized, you know, about what Asianness and introduced to what Asian culture and Asian food is about as they're entering this. And I see it as an entryway, you know, for learning about a group of people that is mm-hmm. that has very rich histories and a diverse background.
We're just about out of time. Robert, can you give us 30 seconds just so we can touch on it, on the history that you delve into of the soy sauce company Kikkoman, their marketing, and what it reveals about historic attitudes towards Japanese Americans?
Right. The Kikkoman soy sauce, which is a venerable label, has been around for hundreds of years. They began marketing in the U.S. As early as the late 19th century. However, in the recently, say 5 years ago, they announced the 50th anniversary of the soy sauce in America. What happened is that they decided that the real Americans were defined as white Americans. And so I think this is an example of how corporations in the marketing products need to always come up with a new way to get customers.
Unfortunately, that has to be the last word. We thank Robert G. Sankoo from Binghamton University, Locke Sui from UC Berkeley. She's a contributor to, he's an editor of, Eating Asian American, a food studies reader. Thank you so much for a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.